Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Boys, our program today is brought to you by a little company called Visual Theology, a little company that we are business partners with. You can find them at Visual Theology, Visual Theology. This is why I don't do the promos. VisualTheology.church. Use the promo code HAPPYRANT at checkout for how much off, Piper?
I think it's 20%. It might be 25%. Usually have notes in front of me for promos, but we'll go 20% and then people can have a pleasant surprise if I'm wrong.
Absolutely. It's the season for pleasant surprises. And speaking of the season, Piper, per your comment 2 minutes ago off the air, apparently Christmas man Ronald has been throwing some heaters, some fastballs on social media about Christmas movies. And Piper, I want you to explain what the fastballs are, and then we'll give Ronald a chance to defend his positions and we'll chime in a little bit. But then I want to get just like top three Christmas movies from each of you guys. So Piper, what have the fastballs looked like?
Yeah. So there was one today that Ted, this may actually be slightly offensive to you. I know you really love this movie. I don't know how you feel about it as a Christmas movie. He said something to the effect of, if Die Hard is a Christmas movie, it is apocrypha. Or did you say apocryphal? But I think you said apocrypha, meaning this is part of the non-canon. It is not canon Christmas movie. So they're very, very judgmental towards that.
Well, that's hurtful. That's hard. That's hard to hear. I think it's aggressive speech.
Baby, do you feel triggered right now?
I think it's abusive. Is what I think. And by that, I mean, I don't like it. So I'm calling it abuse.
Piper, it's verbal violence is really what it is.
It's violence, meaning that I just don't agree with the take. So Piper, I like that tweet as like a grad school flex. You know what I mean? We're using that grad school education. We're working in the word apocryphal. That's fun. That's a nice thing.
Not full.
Yeah.
To be clear.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Distinctions are a grad school flex too. That's big. So I want to do a minute on this because I watched Die Hard last night. We watch it every year at Christmas. It delivers some Christmas vibes for us. It's a lot of fun. The boys like it. My boys are like 19 and 15 respectively. So they're right in the like age window for loving Die Hard. Baby, I want to ask you just straight out, like, what's your issue with Die Hard? What's your problem with it? Let's start there.
Baby, I don't have a problem with really any movie.
You took to social media though, baby, to kind of like publicly go at Die Hard. I want to know what was happening in your heart there.
I think it's because I have so many people that don't see on social media, people going after me about their insistence about Die Hard being a Christmas movie. So that was like a subtweet to people that are tweeting and not tweeting at me, but contacting me and talking to me and being upset at me because I just fundamentally, you know, here's the thing. Die Hard is great. Sure. I've never seen it, but it's great. And
I would like for you to view it because here's the thing. I actually think you would like it.
Like I might like it.
Yeah. I think it has some ingredients. Like knowing a little bit about your movie viewing, because we viewed a good number of movies together over the years, I actually do think it has some ingredients. And look, I don't know if it'll work for you as a Christmas movie. I'm not here to speak to that. But like, to me, I think you would enjoy the movie. I think it might help you reconcile with a lot of these people with whom you're in conflict right now, because I think this is like problematic for you. You know, it's
I think it's just it's a fundamental, you know, it's like a fundamental take on genre. Right. Mm-hmm. It's like I don't have why would I have a problem with any movie? I don't have a problem with Die Hard as a movie.
Yeah.
But I didn't like it. But, you know, this has been a recent thing in the last few years where it's the ha ha because I don't know, it's set on Christmas Eve or whatever it is. And it's like, well, therefore, it's a Christmas movie. And I would just say, well, but that doesn't really make it. I mean, there's a ton of movies out there that, you know, include the month of December into their narrative. Yeah. And we don't call it a Christmas movie. So it doesn't, you know, a Christmas movie has to have some intangibles to make it, in my opinion. It's, of course, it's my opinion.
Yeah.
A Christmas movie. I would say that Die Hard, and you know what, T, maybe I would enjoy the movie. Yeah. But I mean, again, we're not going to think of it as being akin to A Christmas Carol,
yeah,
or It's a Wonderful Life. I mean, it's not going to be a Christmas movie in the way that we think a Christmas movie is a Christmas movie. And the fact that people like to ha-ha it in there, just it kind of is further proof that it's illegitimate.
I hear what you're saying. It still hurts. Piper, where are you?
Well, Ted, let me just, baby, you did not think it was a Christmas movie 5 years ago. No, that wasn't even a topic of conversation.
Yeah.
This has been a recent inclusionary thing.
I guess it was a Christmas movie for me 5 years ago in that it's a December movie, right? It's just a movie that like gets watched in December because it does have some Christmas movie ingredients in that there's Christmas music in it. There's Christmas trees, like the Christmas aesthetic does factor into it, even though it's not like centrally about that.
There's a guy wearing a shirt that says ho, 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 painted in, I think, blood. So
that's right.
That's fun.
That's right. That's a good get, Piper, for sure. So I think let's talk genre for a minute, because I think in true postmodern fashion, like a Christmas movie could be anything that for you delivers Christmas vibes. I don't know that we have to go all reformed, like distinctives on this, but
nothing is less reformed than the word vibes. So I think that ship has sailed.
That's so true. I don't know. Piper, where are you at in the Die Hard thing? Does it deliver like Christmas feelings to you? Is it a Christmas movie? What do you have to
Piper
say?
Piper doesn't have Christmas feelings.
I was going to say, wow. I feel ill-equipped.
That's a heater right there.
Well, yeah. I struggle to resonate with Ronnie's whole Christmas vibes thing at all because, Shocking. Yes, I know this is none of this comes as news to anybody on this podcast or listening to this podcast. So last episode we talked about Ronnie's Hallmark Christmas movie think piece and his what's the word I'm looking for? Adoration, his apologetic defense of Hallmark movies just puts him in like a whole different sphere of these things than it does for me. I like watching Die Hard at Christmas because it qualifies as a Christmas movie because the whole plot falls apart if Christmas doesn't happen. It's built around a Christmas party, a guy flying in to meet his daughter for Christmas. It's all very Christmassy in that way. And it's a movie that I like that I get to watch at Christmas time. Unlike most Christmas movies foisted upon me. So
that's a good point.
That's it. It's kind of a, like a life preserver in a morass of saccharine films that make me feel like I'm drowning.
No, that's good. That's a good distinction. And I mean, it just has a lot of things Ronald likes. It has travel, it has a guy getting off an airplane in LA. I mean, there's too much.
Huge gaudy Christmas decorations.
Huge gaudy Christmas decorations.
People snorting enormous amounts of cocaine and off
and missing some on their upper lip.
You guys are really mischaracterizing my Christmassy vibe here, but I'm going to let it pass. Go, keep talking.
A very cocaine Christmas with Ronald Martin.
Nor was my Hallmark think piece any sort of defense of Hallmark movies. Pipe, just keeping it. TBC here.
Here's what I think you need to do. And I think this is actually a savvy business move for you right now in the spirit of monetizing Christmas. I think it's time to watch Die Hard and turn it into like a bit on Twitter or like content or whatever. Like, hey, I'm doing
maybe
it.
I should. Maybe I should finally do that.
I knew that would resonate with you, baby. See, that's the idea.
I think what we need is a Muppets Die Hard.
I'd watch that.
I feel like I need to get off this pod. What?
what was Ronald's Muppets take, Piper?
Well, here's the thing. I went looking for it while we were discussing this, and he actually deleted the tweet, which is either I don't know if it was because there was a typo or because he didn't like the heat he was taking. Ronnie, do you know what was your thought process behind deleting this tweet?
I don't remember deleting the tweet. To be quite honest, what's the tweet? I don't really delete.
I don't know. Tweets, it just says the tweet was deleted by the tweet author, but it was one in which you took the Muppet Christmas Carol behind the woodshed and beat it mercilessly. From what I remember.
Oh, no, I remember. No. It's like when we're talking about some of the really great classy Christmas carols that have been made, and people try to act like the Muppet one. You know, again, this puppet movie they made,
yeah.
and everybody talks about it like, no, that's the greatest one. It's a little absurd to me, mm-hmm. is all. Mm-hmm. It's silly, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's silly.
And popular
opinion is the one that was made with George C. Scott, an Academy Award winning actor who delivers the goods on Ebenezer Scrooge. You know what I mean? Sure. He's a great actor, and it's epic. It's dark. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. It's over the top. It's made in the 80s, so you get a little of that vibe, but nevertheless,
yeah,
you know, it's acted well.
Sure.
And then for people to say, oh no, the Muppets won. It's like, I mean, dude, you know what I mean? It's like somebody saying, no, I disagree, man, McDonald's. You know what I mean?
Right,
it's like, well, no, I get it. I mean, I like McDonald's too, but I'm not gonna also compare it with a meal that I just paid, you know, hundreds of dollars for.
Sure.
They don't compare, you know.
So I wanna do a project where I just want to mention a couple of movies. And
I love that you just said project. That was epic.
Yeah, this is a side project, right? I'm doing it with Lifeway Resources. But I want to run a couple of Christmas movies by both of you guys. What I would love to do today is find consensus among all three of us on a Christmas movie that we all three like.
That's sweet. That's real. That's sweet.
Baby. It's bridge building. Okay. We need to let the healing begin. From all these fastballs you've been throwing. So,
they're hard, man. I'm striking out a lot of people with those.
You're throwing 98 miles an hour. You're going to get signed by the Toledo Mudhens.
I am. I'm going to have a Mudhen deal by the end of this app.
This is Ronnie's chin music. That's what this is.
Yeah. He's throwing chin music, kind of staring down the batter as he goes to first.
I'm going
to
be a first stringer with the Mudhens before this app is over, baby.
I love it. You're the ace. You're the ace of the rotation. All right. I've got one. I like this movie. I'm not sure it's defensible as a good movie, but it's fun. I like the setting. I like the people in it. It's The Holiday. Jack Black, Kate Winslet, like they trade Airbnbs. It's a fun time. Where are you at on The Holiday, Ronald?
I like it, don't love it.
Okay. Yeah. That checks out. I think I like it, don't love it too, but I'm going to watch it this year just because I'm in the mood for it. Piper, where are you at on The Holiday?
It's a little depresso to me. It's a little too depresso for me.
Oh, depresso in what way? What do you find depressing?
Well, I'm not a Cameron Diaz fan on any level, so terrible. I struggle with.
Yeah,
with her.
Yeah, put almost anybody else in the movie. It's better.
It's the scenario of them picking up and traveling across the country on Christmas and having these last minute affairs, and it just that's like thinking of thinking of my life being that it just puts me in a state of
because they have no family and
the whole thing's just kind of gross.
That,
you know,
that movie doesn't even qualify as a Christmas movie in my mind because it could work literally any time. They left because they were stressed, you know, and I don't think it's a Christmas movie in a very defensible way. And I don't like it at all. Cameron Diaz ruins everything she's in. So
okay, so that's
she retired, but
that's a hard no. I got another.
I would defend it as a Christmas movie, though, so I have to say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give you Christmas movie because it does play into the plot. But yeah, I didn't hard no on that one.
Okay, second one. This is one we watch every year. Me and KK, we enjoy it. Love Actually. Ensemble cast, Christmas, London, Hugh Grant. A bunch of other people. The costume drama guy, Colin Firth, has a nice little 20-minute run in this movie. I really enjoy the movie Love Actually. Where are you at on it, Ronald?
You know, it's so funny. I think I watched it a few years ago because you were raving about it.
Yeah.
And I think I was like, oh, man, I never really saw it. Mm-hmm. And it came out in that era where I feel like every movie was called Love Actually or those weird titles where they didn't make any sense.
There's a comma. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I can see why you liked it.
Yeah.
It didn't resonate with me, and it was a little too depresso in the way that The Holiday was, where you saw these lives that were just like, oh man, I would hate for that to be my life.
Well,
it left me like that.
I think we're getting to a distinction here that's important in that I think I'm looking for a little crackle of like reality in my Christmas movies that maybe you are not looking for. You're looking to be swept away on a wave of escapism. And I think I'm looking for a little something I can grab onto reality wise. Piper, where are you at on Love Actually?
That may be true, Chief.
Yeah.
I thought it was very good at what it was trying to be. It's not my favorite kind of movie, but I enjoyed it. It's one that if Lauren said, "Hey, let's watch this," I'd say okay to that one.
Yeah, it's one it's easy to say yes to. Yeah, absolutely.
It's movies that are like it's hard to. This is what I don't like is when it's hard to find. When it's hard to find a hero in the movie because they're all mildly horrible people, like I really struggle with that.
Yeah, see, you know? I get what you're saying totally, but I think the Colin Firth character was above reproach in Love Actually.
And maybe that's true. I just don't remember.
I think
maybe
Hugh Grant was okay. Yeah. Hugh Grant was fine.
He's just Hugh Grant.
So
his biggest issue.
Yeah, I was going to say, every time he smiles, you're like, ooh, maybe he's not okay. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, I mean, there are only a couple like actual dirtbags in it. And what's interesting about it is that the only real depresso storyline to me was Laura Linney's storyline, and she's always in depressing things. Like she she never does a not depressing thing. Yeah. And it's funny that in this like soaring ensemble Christmas movie, hers is the only downbeat storyline. Okay. Next one. Chevy Chase. The 80s. Suburban Chicago. Lots of snow. It's a great snow movie. Christmas Vacation. It's a comedy. I like it. My boys like it. We have a lot of fun with it. It's 90 minutes, a lot of ha-has.
So quotable.
So quotable. Kind of, to me, relatable. This is where I relate to it, and you're not going to relate to this, baby. But like on the level of sort of being a dad and trying to deliver a moment and not having it work, I really think that's kind of the energy of that movie. And it's funny to me. Where are you at on Christmas Vacation? Piper, let's start with you on this one.
I would put that in my top 3 to 5 Christmas movies. I don't know if I have a top 5, so probably top 3. Right. I really enjoy it. It's rewatchable. It's the kind of like once you've seen it once, you can jump in at any point and just pick it up from there. It's like if you walk in on it.
Yeah.
So many memorable scenes and stuff. And I gravitate much more towards comedy rather than heartfelt for Christmas movies anyway. So
yeah,
right up my alley.
Yeah. Ronald, Christmas Vacation.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, similar to Pipe with one qualification, it's a classic.
Yeah.
It's super funny. And I will never watch it because I'm not drawn to comedies. I like meaningful, heartfelt, emotional.
Yeah.
Make me cry, make me ponder.
Can we do a minute?
But
on
I mean
that?
it's a classic. I'm just kind of not drawn to gross out comedy-ish kind of stuff like that. I've seen it probably, 19 times, and that was a long time ago, and there's never any desire to see it.
Can I ask can we do a minute on like I'm just curious, why you're resistant to comedies? Like I just find that interesting because I don't know a lot of people like that. Why is the comedy a non-starter for you?
I don't know. It always feels like a waste of time to me. Mm-hmm. And, again, it's not, I mean, I've seen a million comedies. And I think, I think Christmas Vacation is classic. I think it's funny. I think it's a great Christmas movie. I think it should be in the top 10. So there's my, so honestly, I believe that.
Sure.
So you're not going to get any argument with me about its like validity.
Yeah.
But like I haven't watched it in 20 years. Like I have no desire to watch it. I don't know. There's just something about a comedy where I just shrug and I go, if I'm going to spend the time, because I also am married to a wife who does not enjoy the cinema or movies in general.
Sure.
So we have to be very choosy.
Yeah.
And so that's just not the man. That one is not going to win.
Okay.
It's not going to win.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, I got one more, and then you guys can suggest some if you want. My last one, to me, this is also a comedy, but it hits at a kind of heartfelt level. It's aged really well. It's a great Minnesota movie, a great snow movie. Grumpy Old Men. Where are we at on it? We watched.
Baby, I've never seen it.
Oh, it's so funny, dude. It's so funny. No. You actually, I think you would resonate with it because you're getting a little older. And
appreciate that.
It's a funny movie about aging. It's a great you know what you ought to do? You should watch it as sort of a a 90-minute kind of primer on the Midwest and how Midwesterners do things. I think it would actually be helpful for you on that level. So yeah, Grumpy Old Men. It's a good time.
You want movies that are heartfelt. It's not nearly as sort of like
slapstick,
detached humor as a lot of those comedies are. It's a lot more sort of humane and heartfelt in its overall storyline and stuff, but also really funny.
T, I love how you just casually said, I think that would be really helpful for you.
I think it would, actually. Well, and it would
be, I think that'd be really helpful for you, Big R.
Since you're a guy who like doesn't like to waste time, apparently, you could view it as like a educational moment. You know what I mean? It's like a
mini documentary on old Midwesterners.
Yeah.
Man, you guys are not selling it. You're not selling it.
It's fun, though. Like, Piper, you sell it to Ronald. Like, what are the aspects of it that you think he could benefit from?
Well, first of all, it's a comedy, but it's from an era of comedy that, A, cared about, you know, an actual plot line, not just like joke.
Sure.
It's got a great cast. Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau are the two leads. And so much of the humor is just like them being just sort of their personas as opposed to their jokes and setups. So it's
kind of like the Odd Couple. I'm thinking Odd Couple at this point.
Yeah. I mean, they're friends, but they're like at odds with one another. Yeah.
Absolute
they're friends
rivals.
With rivals. They live next door to each other.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's a little bit of, not to get all McCracken on it, but I think this. There's a little bit of an existential vibe to it on the level of like, kind of what's the point of my life? Like, why does my life matter? What am I doing? Especially as I age, what's the point? And the movie kind of seeks to answer some of those questions in a relational way, which I do find that charming. And it has more meaning to it than a typical like slapstick.
Oh, comedy. One thing you'll love about it, Ronnie, is the depiction of adult male friendship in terms of its like its flaws, its failures, how guys suck at it, but then how they kind of you can tell they really want to figure it out, but they're really bad at it. It's that with a lot of humor to kind of smooth over the awkward. So yeah, lots of adult parenting stuff in there too, which as you know, as my kids get older and I get older, I look at it and I'm like, yeah, I can totally see that. So
yeah,
what was this? Was this like a 90s vehicle?
Yeah, it was early to mid 90s. Yeah. I want to say Piper.
I would have said real early 90s, late 80s even.
Yeah, it's got a very 80s sensibility about it on the level of like we're trying to tackle something with moral weight, which you wouldn't see anymore. It's not like a super cynical 2021 comedy where it's all like sneers and eye rolls and stuff. Like they're trying to actually do something, which I tip the cap for that. And they're making it, yeah, they're making the pill go down in a enjoyable kind of format. So, I miss that kind of movie making. I really do. Like, I don't think we see that anymore.
Gosh. Yeah. I mean, I think we miss a ton of movie making right now. I mean, it's like, that's a whole other pod for us.
Yeah, it, like, it is.
Yeah. Basically, we have Art House and Marvel, and that's what we've got for movie making right now.
I mean, for the most part, I mean, that's actually true.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, I mean, there's such a wide gap of things that we used to be able, like every once in a while, like you'll watch a movie and you'll be like, dude, they haven't made, like since this movie, they haven't made a movie like that.
Yeah.
You know,
100%. All right, boys, let's get a couple of suggestions that I haven't hit. That's all I had on my list for Christmas movies that I wanted to bounce off you guys. What do you guys have?
I have one that I would love to take the temperature of the room on because it's a polarizing one.
Yeah.
That I'm just gonna put my cards on the table. It's one of my favorites. It would also be in my top two or three, and it is A Christmas Story.
Run me through that one.
So,
that's the little kid in the Red Ryder BB
little
gun.
Little kid wants a Red Ryder BB gun.
Oh, that's a fun one. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. So many people hate that movie. I mean, people either have an adoration for it or they hate it. I think because it doesn't fit, it doesn't really check any of the boxes for like heartfelt Christmas movies for the most part. I mean, there's the leg lamp, there's the crazy parents. It's also low production value. And it's just, it's kind of quirky, but a lot of people hate it.
No, I like it for all those reasons, actually. I'm in on that one. Ronald, where are you at on it? It's on TV a lot during Christmas. I know that.
Yeah, they do like a marathon with it. Oh, a top 10, man. It's classic.
Yeah, nice.
100%.
Well, that's good. That's one 100%. We agree on. Oh, I like this.
Absolutely.
Well done, Piper. That was a good suggestion. Any others?
That's the kind of movie that'll never get made again.
Yeah.
I mean, when I watch that movie, I'm literally just watching like a documentary on my dad.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what that is.
And it's kind of the same energy as Christmas Vacation in that he's trying to keep everything everything together family wise. He's trying to deliver a moment. He's coming up short. You know, it's a sympathetic dad there for sure.
I mean, it's a classic. It's unarguable.
Well, and yeah. I like movies that are told from the perspective of the kid, where certain things are sort of outsized because that's how the kid viewed them. So like dad is like kind of the hero, but also the roaring monster and the bully and the dogs and all this stuff. It has a bit of a Sandlot vibe to me.
I was just going to say that, Pipe. It's a Christmas Sandlot.
Yeah,
which Sandlot is one of my top five favorite movies ever. So it makes sense that one would float my
boat. Yeah. There we go. We got it, boy.
We got it.
We can't. It came together in the end.
Yeah, that's big. That's good work, you guys. Ron, any other Christmas movies that you want to talk about that we haven't covered as a group?
I mean, they're just going to be polarizing. I say we just end on the positive.
Let's end on the win
with a Christmas story.
Yeah,
absolutely.
End on the win. I like it. Do we want to do the New Year's thing or just wrap this one and do a Patreon?
I think we should. I think we should get a. I think we should get one suggestion from each of us on the New Year's thing.
Okay.
So not a super long conversation, but I think we should.
Full disclosure, I didn't understand the New Year's thing. Like, what's the angle there? Like, something we want to see happen in 2022, basically?
No, so it was like if we were – so pretend it's December 2022 right now. Here we are. We're sitting. We're doing our pod before the end of the year. So, like, what would we – so – but it's not, though. It's 21 right now.
It is.
So what do we hope – this time next year to be sitting here saying happened that we are so glad that it happened.
Yeah, that's good. Piper, do you have anything like dialed up?
I have one just waiting in my back pocket. In December of 2022, I would like to be celebrating with you gentlemen the sheer number of best book of the year list that the Happy Rant book ends up on. That's what I want to be.
You know, it's
going
to be all over. You know, it's going to be all over. Yeah.
I want it to end up on the Gospel Coalition books of the year. I don't know. It'd be like gospel and culture category for them. I want it to be on Christianity Today's. Like, they're going to create a category for it because it doesn't fit any of theirs.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. They have to. I mean, that's the thing. It can't be beat out.
Yeah. It exists.
It has no rivals.
Alone in its own category.
Absolutely.
So, okay, I like this one. And mine was going to be similar. It was just going to be us, like, sitting on a huge pile of money from our our sellout business relationship that we're about to do with a new company, but also the book coming out. So, like, functionally, Piper, and you've been in the business, like, on the other side. How do you make this happen? Like, whose palms do you have to grease to, like, get on one of those book lists? Because I think we do it.
Well, it's a very good question. And I think the answer is don't be funny. So we might be out of the running already.
I would say that's pretty accurate, Pipe.
No,
given when you look at,
I was actually thinking about this earlier because, you know, these lists are starting to roll in pre-Christmas. They come out earlier every year, just like the Christmas season and everything else. And you start to look at the lists and I realize there's two ways to get on one of these lists. One is to sell so many copies that you are, you know, unignorable.
Yeah.
The other is to be smack dab in the middle of a very defined tribe. So, you know, you get like Carl Truman's book. That was a sales thing. Just he's not really in a tribe, but he's adjacent to enough and just sold enough that it was unignorable last year. Then you have Gentle and Lowly, which did both squarely in the middle of a tribe and sold a ton. And I mean, I think those are both good books, but So the question is, well, we're not going to fit the tribal thing. I don't think there's a tribe that is willing to claim us.
Well, I mean, like the illegitimacy of it is basically this is what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. We are going to declare our book one of the best books of the year because all these different entities do is pick the people that are associated with them. Mm-hmm. And they just so happen to seem to pick those books
yeah.
that are associated with them. So it's akin to us saying, hey, here's our favorite books of the year, yeah. the Happy Rant book.
I think you make a good point there in that what we really need is an entity. We either need to make one or we need to like sell ourselves to one. So if you're a huge entity out there and you want to purchase the rights to the Happy Rant being in your tribe,
purchase the right to our souls.
Yeah, we're open to that. You know, we're open to negotiations on that. Ronald, what's your New Year's thing?
Oh, man. You know what? I'm just going to roll with Pipe on that one. I think we agreed on the movie.
Let's agree on
the outcome.
Let's agree on that. Yeah. No, I love it. That's solid. So we're unified as a group moving into 2022, and that we are very ready to sell out and make some year-end book lists and be purchased by a tribe and see where it all goes. So
entities, that's the word for us for 2022.
Entities, baby. It's the year of entities. It's the year of entities. It's the year of you watching Die Hard too. Are you going to watch it with Big M like tonight or tomorrow? I want a commitment here.
Oh man, I don't know. I got to talk to. Remember, I got Big M. You know,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
There's stuff going on there. There's stuff behind the stuff going on there.
Yeah, she could curl up next to you and read some book and kind of halfway float in and out of it. I don't know. I could.
Sure.
I see a way forward.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah, if we just problem solve the thing and we stop yelling and screaming for a minute, you know what I mean? Let's all put down our
that'd
guns
be great.
And just that'd be problem great. Solve. It would be great, boys. Also great, Redbud Coffee. They're another sponsor. They are a company that we work with. They are Central Illinois hipsters that make coffee, and like a portion of it goes to do some nice things if you buy Redbud Coffee. So, Piper, where can they find that?
Yeah, if you go to redbudcoffee.com, they have kind of a rotating selection of single origin roasts. For those of you who don't know what that means, it means good. For those of you who do know what it means, they're that quality. And if you use the code HAPPYRANT at checkout, you get 10% off your purchase. They also sell in quantity, so you could buy for your office or your church or anything like that as well. So again, redbudcoffee.com, use the code HAPPYRANT, get that 10% discount.
Love it. Boys, we've done what we always do on this program, which is we've talked about Christmas movies and agreed on a lot of things. It feels good to go into the holidays on this note. And until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Hey there, it's Carly Mercoulier, host of Therapy and Theology, a weekly podcast that explores popular topics and questions related to faith, feelings, and spiritual formation. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.